The whole picture is that he has always been superior to created beings. And so we shoot down that idea of a yin-yang world, a gathacacological environment, where the good and evil are at the same time there, battling it out as though they were equals. And they're not. They're not equals. There's good and there is evil and there is spiritual war. These evil forces are not equal with God, not even close.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. Pastor Rick teaches from Luke chapter 8 today, where we will learn that Jesus has absolute authority over all created things, including demons. The Lord is able to free men from all demonic strongholds. Satan and his entire demonic army are under Christ's rule. Eventually, the devil and his angels will meet their final judgment in the lake of fire. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 30, with today's study.
And so comes the answer, and he said, legion. And then the note, because many demons had entered him. Now, a legion in the Roman army was anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 men. Now, that doesn't mean that it's to be taken literal, that there were 4,000 to 6,000 demons. There could have been thousands. There could have been more. But it certainly, this was a bad situation. It was not likely a couple of hundred. Then he probably would have said something to do with the centurion. But there will be enough demons released from this one, or these two human beings, to overwhelm 2,000 swine. What does that tell us? That the human being has more capacity for evil than animals. If you live in a big city, especially in days when there's rotten government over that city, there's a high concentration of homeless people. Not all of them by any means demonic, but many of them are. And I know, because I lived in, of course, New York most of my life, New York City, and I know about the things that they've done and they do, and I've watched it, and it's not human. And I also know that they are physically, you can strike them down. They're not T-Rex loose on the human race, where, you know, there's no defense against them. You don't have to be a Christian to have a defense against them, but it helps. And so, again, we're dealing with something that is very real. In other parts of the world, it's out of control. I mean, you can walk down the streets and you see it, and there's nothing there to contain this. In some places, you can go and you can feel it. You can feel it in the presence of some people. This is real stuff. And it was not just happening back then. And we don't see it so much in the suburbs and the country, but in the cities. Oh, funny, because in the story, it's in the country, right? So much for my hypothesis. But let's take a few verses. Verse 31, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now, see, they know their fate. They know where they're going, ultimately. Well, they know the next stop, I should say that, because the abyss and the lake of fire are not the same thing. They're sort of like Sheol. Sheol and Gehenna aren't the same thing. The Sheol is the abode of the dead. And since the resurrection of Christ, it is the abode of the wicked dead. Those who are in Christ, when you die, you do not go to Sheol as it used to be the case. You go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when you die, you will see Jesus face to face. But the wicked, when they die, they go to Sheol. Demons, looking at it in the scripture, when they're not on earth wreaking havoc, they are locked in the abyss. But the time is going to come when they will be taken out of the abyss and they will be cast into the lake of fire. So we take Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we have two different physical places. From God's perspective, you know, it's just too much for us. We don't know so much. But from the scriptural, what's been revealed to us, the abyss seems to be a temporary place. Satan will be snatched by an angel, and he will be locked away for about 1,000 years, and he'll be put into the abyss, the bottomless pit. Then he'll be let free. And then he'll be grabbed hold of again, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, and there he will be cast into the lake of fire. And so we have these two different destinations. But the one before us now is the abyss. They were saying we don't want to go to the spiritual, you know, that cosmic prison. We want to be free. Now the herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that they would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. He said, I'm not stopping you. He could have. This was their plan of survival. Get inside the swine. But here he is in control. I mentioned earlier that he knew who was before him. He wasn't surprised when he said, we're legion because we're many, nor was he intimidated. Ooh, I don't know if I can throw out that many. None of that was happening for Jesus. He total control. Colossians 1, by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Now that heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, the spiritual realm, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and by, through him and for him, and for his purposes, which we are a part of. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And of course, that's a reference to the cross, the fuller picture, but the whole picture is that he has always been superior to created beings. And so we shoot down that idea of a yin-yang world, a gathacacological environment, where the good and evil are at the same time there, battling it out as though they were equals. And they're not. They're not equals. There is good and there is evil and there is spiritual war. These evil forces are not equal with God, not even close. They're created beings. They are just as weak in the presence of God as any human being or any tick or flea or mouse or anything else you can think of, but not to us. And that's why this involves all of us. And verse 33, then the demons went out of the man, because they had no choice, and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. The pigs would rather die than hold these demons. The demons did not intend to destroy the swine. They intended the swine to host them. That was their plan for survival. And that's why they wanted a body to inhabit. Okay, just don't let us go to the abyss. How about them? This is an indication, first off, that demons cannot successfully inhabit animals. Only unsaved sinners. We have no evidence in Scripture anywhere of a believer being demon-possessed. In fact, John tells us in his first letter, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so the demon and the Holy Spirit will not coexist in the individual. No human eye could see this transition from the human to the swine. When the disciples were standing there and he said, go. They didn't say, oh, look, and watch the demonic spirits like ghosts fly over to the swine. And it's instant, as the story reads. This was an instantaneous thing. And so we can see evidence of the work of demons. Those are visible, their work, but not they themselves. And so here their survival plan backfired. Well, that's important to us because that tells us that they can make mistakes, that they can be wrong, that they are not divine, that they, like the devil, do not know everything. Satan was sure he could take out Job. He was wrong. And so the Bible exposes this. Though they're still destructive, just because they're not geniuses doesn't mean they're any less destructive. It doesn't take smarts to be destructive. Many a home, many a church, many a country has been ruined by fools who aren't too smart, they're just destructive. And there's never been a shortage of them. You can preach about it, they can hear it, and they get up and still do it. Verse 34, when those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. So they had a choice at that moment. I mean, here you are spectating this, you know, watching this whole thing, and you run and you tell the people in the city, and you tell anybody you come in touch with on the way to and from the city. But you don't go near the one who has done this. I look at that and I say, why would, if that were me, I think I'd want to see the Lord. But I know who the Lord is. They don't. We will find out that these people in the town find many pigs worth more than men. And it is like what we see today in those who are extreme and imbalanced animal activists. Now, there are animal activists that do look out for animals. Nothing wrong with that. There are many of you here. You love animals. Who wants to see an animal suffer? I don't. But then there are those that lose touch with reality, and all of a sudden animals become of more value than human beings, and that is not of the Lord. Matthew 12:12, of how much more, Jesus asked, of how much more value then is a man than sheep? Well, completely. The Lord did not die for pigs and dogs and sheep and cattle. He died for sinners, human beings. And we cannot allow ourselves to get tripped up by that. Now, granted, you know, your pet, I mean, you love them, you know, they don't, who loves you more than your dog? I mean, you come in the house, hey, I missed you, I know you're going to feed me, I know it, but I still do love you, crunch, 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 while they're chewing, you know. They never lose sight of the most important thing, you feed them. But they don't talk about you, they don't provoke you. I mean, it's just like the pets. But we got to be balanced. And when they die, it breaks our hearts. But they're still pets. And we got to make sure those lines don't get blurred, because I think that will interfere with how we serve. So love your animals with freedom, but not with recklessness. Then they went out to see what happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You should have been afraid before Jesus got here. Matthew tells us, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. They wanted to see. What did they want to see? The man in his right mind or all those pigs floating in the Sea of Galilee? I don't know. Certainly the owners of the pigs had monetary interest in this, and we'll get to that in a moment. But here they came to see him. Now, he saw them coming. He saw this multitude of Gentiles coming towards them, and he knew they were not coming to hear or to be healed. They were coming because this was excitement, and they had an interest, and ultimately they wanted to be rid of him. But that is not the whole story. We read here in verse 35, and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were unmoved by this. This was no big deal. They had already in their head satisfied, listen, he's out of his mind. We've sent him away. Indeed, the demons drove him away. We're good with this. When we go out in that neighborhood, we just go in groups and with sticks. And we've come to terms with this. And this is, you know, you could have just left them out there like that, and we could have had our pigs. And this here, it says clothed. The Lord covered his shame. The Lord would soon die on the cross to remove the shame. And that is what he has done with all sinners. They were afraid, but their fear did not go far enough, because they did not fear the holiness of God. They knew something spiritual was going on here. They knew that Jesus was a Jew and those with him were too. They did not fear that here a man had the capacity for all of this demonic activity, and yet he still has the capacity to be filled with God, to be touched by God. It is a serious thing in a soul when people are more afraid of goodness than wickedness. And we're seeing this in our own society. That people, they hate the sign of the cross. They hate the mention of Jesus Christ, though they have no charge against him. They're more afraid of holiness than they are of wickedness. And there's really nothing you can do with someone like that. Not right away. I mean, we pray and we continue to preach the word and live the life. And eventually many of them get saved. And we'll come back to that. Verse 36, they also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Well, only Jesus could deliver a man like this. And they said, there he is. He did it. He cast out the demons into the pigs and they went into the lake. Verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Here's the real insanity. Here is the real madness of the story, that men would chase God away from them, that they would want nothing to do with holiness. All they could see was their financial loss. That's all they were interested in. Jesus could have given them more pigs. He can restore what the locusts have eaten. He could have filled that void in their lives. They didn't give him a chance. This is the case with so many people. Some people come to Christ. They serve in the church. Then they suffer some great loss. And they won't give Jesus a chance. They won't forgive anybody. You hurt my feelings. It's all about your feelings. And the person can come and say, I apologize. I was wrong. They still won't let it go. You know, when a person gets like that, then let them go, because there's nothing you can do with it. I mean, if they're Christians, they're commanded to forgive. How often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, Peter thought he was, you know, waxing eloquently. And the Lord shot him down. You got to forgive him more numbers than you can count. And yet, it happens all the time. And they don't, you know what, they don't give the pastors a chance to rebuke them. They leave. Before we can get to them and say, you know, you're against the Lord. And you know what he says about this? If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Do you know how serious that is? Anyhow, seeing the menace of Gadara restored to sanity, they themselves are behaving as though they were insane. How unlike the Sychararians, those of Sychar. They heard the word of a woman at the well, and they came out to see this Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all things I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then it says in verse 42 of John 4, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. How unlike those of Sychar were these of Gadara. The Samaritans believed not by the wonder, but by the word of God. And so this is what the seed of the wayside is all about. God's word and God's wonders are denied access to the heart because the heart is hard. It is trampled down by activity of human beings, not God. It is made hard by people. They preferred Satan's presence over the Savior. So they asked him to leave. And all he can do is disturb him. That's what Jesus does. He disturbs us. When you come to church on Sunday, do you know Jesus disturbs? He'll say something from his word and get you right between the eyes. He's disturbing you. But that's all he can do. He's waking you up. But you have to get out of bed or flip back over and go to sleep. He's not going to force you out of bed. He's not going to flip over the rack that you're sleeping in. He can wake us, but he won't make us. We either get up or we fail to get up. We are disturbed by Jesus, and we do something. They were disturbed by Jesus, and nothing came of it, nothing worthwhile. Greatly disturbed after seeing this, money moved them more than mercy. To see the man restored was nothing. The demons can stay. Just don't let it cost me. I'd rather keep my money with the demons than to lose a penny and be rid of them. And that's the spirit of the people here. Verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying. Now, before we get to what the Lord said, who wouldn't want to cling to the Lord after being freed from such a hell on earth? Who wouldn't want, having dodged that, getting rid of that fate, that bullet? Well, an ingrate would not care. An ingrate would say, I don't care, I'm free now. I do whatever I want. That's the story of the 10 lepers. Only one came back and said, thank you. The other 9, we deserved this. We didn't ask for this leprosy. We deserve to be cleansed from it. That's how the carnal mind thinks. When self is more important than eternity, that's a paradox. Because it's your eternity that you're talking about. It still includes self. You would think it would make a difference. It is the spirit of Esau. I'm only interested in today. I'm only interested in my life right now. What happens after death, I'll deal with that then. No, you will not. It will deal with you. And there's not a human being on earth that can put it into words. Verse 39, return to your own house. This is what the Lord Jesus told him. And tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now notice this. Tell what great things God has done for you. Verse 39. And he went his way and he proclaimed. What did he proclaim? What great things Jesus had done for him, because Jesus and God are the same. Is God the Father? Here's God the Son, equal with the Father. Separate, personalities, but indivisible as far as essence. And so there we have the divinity of Jesus Christ pronounced in this man's ministry. Since he knew enough to be saved, he knew enough to preach the gospel. Not necessarily to an assembly, but certainly to individuals or groups even. Doesn't mean, okay, now you're saved, you should be a pastor. Some are, some are not. But it does mean we come to Christ, we all are to preach. Mark's gospel says it this way, Mark chapter 5, verse 20. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, that's that whole region, all that Jesus had done for him. And then it says, and all marveled. All were blown away. What happened when he came into town that first time? Clothed, not screaming and running and not his eyes sticking out like a bug. What happened to everybody? And then he began to say, let me tell you what happened. I was a total fruitcake. And Jesus came into my life. And they marveled at this story. We have a responsibility to tell what Christ has done to deliver us from a sure judgment, from the dark side. That is our responsibility as Christians, being wise as serpent, harmless as doves. And here is full display of the mercy and grace of the Lord. He left a witness there. The people rejected him, but he left a witness anyway. The genius of it all. Okay, they don't want to hear the gospel right now. But I'm going to leave you here as a seed to begin preaching it because I'm coming back. And we read about it of his later return in Mark's Gospel chapter 7. And there the Lord comes and he works again. And there he has more positive results. And so the Lord, when he's chased out, and I'll be closing with this, he's chased out and he does not call down fire from heaven on these people. He did something worse. He went to someone else. He went to some other town, some other village. And that's our message to people. You want to chase God away, he'll go to someone else. There's someone else to be saved. Jesus will not force himself on anyone. But he invites all he comes in touch with. The choice is up to them.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through Luke's Gospel. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.